a comeback story. This is comeback, a comeback series for this service and the next service. As you know, we went to Indiana. Before that, we were down in Dunlap in a revival where a young boy got saved. His dad met me after service and said, "My son got saved, and now I'll be able to spend eternity with him." When I got to the back of the church, he said, I got saved last night, and I just want to tell you thank you for coming to our church and preaching revival." And I said, "Well, are you that boy, that man's son?" He goes, "Yeah, my dad's pretty excited about this." I said, "Well, he should be, and you should too." And he goes, "I'm very excited." We went to Indiana, and we preached several services, Friday, Saturday, two services Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we drove back Thursday. A man, in one of the services, his dad came to me and said, "My son's sitting back there by the back door, where if it gets too hot, he's going to get out of here." By the end of the service, he was on the altar and he cried out to Christ for salvation. He'd had his teeth removed and he couldn't talk. He said, "I want that Jesus." I didn't know what was wrong with him. He told me afterwards. And I said, "It's easy to get. All you got to do is ask him." And he saved his soul right there. His daughter got saved the very next day. Amen? So it don't matter if you're ready to run out as long as you're willing to get close enough. Amen? We got to preach a lot of different messages in a lot of different churches. And I appreciate you, church, for the support and letting me go. I've got an evangelist in my heart. I am your pastor, and I love this church. My heart's here. My mind's here. Everything's here. But I have a calling on my life, and I thank you for the opportunity to let me go and fulfill some of that. So I appreciate it very much. And I don't take it lightly when I'm gone. I pray for you, and I'm concerned about what's happening in your lives. And it bothers me that I'm not right here, too. But I know God's in control ultimately. I want to just say that I do love the church, and we have a good church. I've been in a lot this last 10 days. We have a great church. So don't take it for granted either. Amen. Do your part to build it up. Y'all ready? Come back Sunday. Come back series. Come back tonight. Plug in. I always got to plug in for come back to church, right? When I was getting ready for this, I'm not putting a big emphasis on you going and watching a movie, but I was give y'all an illustration of a person. There's a man named Carl Brashear. They made a movie about him called A Man of Honor. He was the first black African-American Navy diver, master diver in the United States Navy. And that's a big deal. He went over a lot of cultural hurdles and things like that. He went in and he became a diver when there was no African-American divers at the time. And that's a great story in itself, just to becoming a diver. But he helped recover a nuclear bomb. And while they were hauling it in, he lost the lower part of his leg. And they told him that he would have to leave service. Well, he didn't take that. He said, nobody's going to steal my dream. He had his leg amputated. He got a prosthetic and got cleared to be a Navy diver and become a master diver. It was his comeback story. He got through with his faith. He said his faith is what carried him through. He said, "It is not a sin to be knocked down. It is a sin to stay down." And we need to live our lives by that. It's okay if the enemy or your life gets knocked down. Don't stay there. Amen? Don't stay there. I want you to have a comeback story. Amen? And we're all needing of a comeback story. I was preparing. I was preaching in Indiana on Thursday night. And this thought come across my mind. I said, I got a message for last night. I had a message tonight, but boy, I'm going to need a message for my church. And the Lord's like, "Oh, don't worry, I'll give it to you in time." And somewhere between Indianapolis and Louisville, Kentucky, God gave me two messages for this comeback series. And this is for you. Amen? Let's get into the Word. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." He wasn't in Jerusalem, and he wasn't where he started. He's somewhere in between. Aren't you glad, Luke 17, verse 11, aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't just save people in great places? He saves people in places where He finds them. Amen? The rough places, the hard places, the places nowhere else, nobody else will go, Jesus will go. I'm glad of that. He don't have to be in Jerusalem, amen? He doesn't have to be in His hometown. He doesn't have to be where the ministry started. He can be anywhere in between. So I want to say this to you. Let God use you in everywhere in between, amen? Your home and your church are great places, but God needs to use you in the places in between that. It'd be all right if you say amen. It's all right. It ain't going to hurt you. Hair lip you or hurt you at all. It'll probably help you, amen. Help you stay awake. God can use you from your home base to church. Now, He'll use you at your home base, hopefully, and He'll use you at church, but He wants to use you everywhere in between, amen. Just coming to church ain't going to make you a great Christian, and just being a Christian at home won't make you a good Christian. What makes a great Christian is you can represent Christ in every area of your life. That's what I like about Jesus. He'll go with you wherever you want Him to go. And He entered into a certain village, and there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. As He entered in the village, they didn't even wait for Jesus to get rested from His trip. They didn't give Him time to get cleaned up and rested and comfortable. Can I ask you a question? Why in the world would we do that in the church? Why do we not come early? We'll come to church and we'll wait all the way to the end to come to Jesus. Some of you came in here today with needs so big and so bold that you know what? You could have came to the altar already. You could have came to Jesus in worship already. But we've got so constructed in our worship that we know, well, I'll wait till that verse at the end. My goodness, I'm glad these old boys, they had leprosy and they were like, we can't wait. We're afar off, amen? When I get afar off from God, I want to get back. I want to get back to Him. I don't want to stay afar off. See, there's sin sickness, this leprosy. Leprosy in this culture was kind of a sin. It was kind of a judgment of God against somebody. Can I explain it the way I would? It's one of them kind of things that happen to you that people go, well, they did that because they're so wicked. They did that because God's against them. Amen? That's going on, man, I wish. That happened to them because God's against them. Amen? You know what I mean? That's what leprosy was to the Jewish culture. God was against that person. But then when God showed up in the flesh, Jesus, He said, I ain't against nobody. Some of y'all need to write that down and highlight it. God ain't against you. He's for you. Your sin ain't too bad. Your situation ain't too bad. Your situation is not nowhere near bad enough. Jesus died for every one of those on the cross. Every one of your situations, every one of those things that you say, well, God can't. God can and God will if you'll let Him. Amen? And they got loud all together, all 10 of them in chorus. Master, have mercy on us. Did you notice that they didn't even ask Him for what they wanted? They were lepers, but they didn't say, hey, heal our leprosy. They said, have mercy. They knew, listen, you should know this by now, God already knows the request. What you need to do is you need to do your part in saying, God, have mercy. God, have grace on my life. You know what I want. Amen. Hey, when I pray to God, I go into it knowing, God, you know what I want. Have you ever went and started praying like God didn't know you? Amen. You start praying like God really don't know the motive behind what you're praying. You're like, oh, Lord, you're awesome. You're worthy of praise. And, Lord, we're just thankful for the beautiful and this and that. And God said, well, you get to the point. Amen. I know what you want. He's just like your regular mom and dad. You come in there buttering them up, wanting to talk to them about this and that. And finally, like, what'd you do, wreck the car? Or do you need $20? Amen? That's what it is. Go to God with an open, honest heart. Amen? But they made their plea loud. You know, you'll get loud when you're sick or hurt. or where you're in a situation that you're desperate. That's why people bother me. So I'm just not a worshiper. I'm just one of them people. I'm a low key person. I'm kind of quiet. The Bible kind of squashes that. It says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And I'm serious. Now, you might be a quiet-natured person. I can understand that totally. You're not always going to talk. But I guarantee you this, if it gets bad enough, you'll get louder. Amen? If it gets bad enough, you won't let Jesus just pass by. And you know what? You'll get to the point, if you get far enough away and you get hurt bad enough, guess what? You won't care what people think about you for crying out to Jesus either. Well, what's wrong with his life? It don't matter what's wrong with you. I'm the one crying out. Could you imagine? All 10 of them cried out too. All 10. Listen, there's 9 Jewish men and 1 Samaritan. Man, hey, problems and sin will bring you into a group of people, will it not? Listen, everybody in this room was a sinner. Everybody in this room needed God's grace. There's nobody in this room that's better than another person when it comes to God. We all got saved the same way, or we will all get saved the same way, or we all need to be saved the same way. It's by God's grace and mercy. They cried out loud, "Jesus, Master!" If you let God be master, you need to write this down. Some of y'all in the back need to listen to this. Hey, if you let God be master, then He will be Savior. But if you won't let Him be master, He'll be none of this. Did you hear me correctly? See, they said, "Master, have mercy." See, if God's not master, then He can't be Savior. And if you won't let Him be master, He's not going to be anything to you. See, that's what the problem is. Most people say, "Well, I don't know if I got saved." You didn't get saved if God's not the master of your life. See, when you get saved, you get a new leader of your life. He tells you how to live. And it's a still small voice that gets in your head and heart. But he might as well be yelling. Because what he's saying, you've never heard it. Amen? What you used to love to do, you go out to do it, and this still small voice goes, "Don't do that. Do the opposite. Instead of curse, bless. Instead of take, give. Instead of lust, love." Oh, truth. Man, ain't that good? That's what it is. So they cried out and they were saying, "Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass that he, as they went, they were cleansed. All ten of them jump up. All 10 of them jump up and head towards the priest. They head to the priest. They head to the temple. They head back to life. Back. We're going back. All right. They all jump up and take off and they're going back. Ain't it amazing? That in their obedience was the healing. He didn't tell them how they were going to be healed. Some of them could have said, "Wait a minute, I don't really agree with the prescription. What if we get up there and nothing's changed?" But you know what they did? They were just obedient. That's the problem why some of you are not going to get whole with God, is because there's no obedience. There's no action. You keep wanting God to show you instead of you just going and doing what He wants you to do. Like at the end of this service, some of you are going to feel draw to come up here to this altar, but you're saying, "I don't know what's going to happen if I come up there." What's going to happen is there's going to be a change from the place you leave into the place you arrive in the obedience. Amen? There's going to be some of you in here that's going to make up your mind today that you're going to serve God in the capacity that He really wants you to serve in. He's been wanting you to serve because you need to have a comeback. You gave Him enough excuses and enough reasons why you're not going to serve, but God wants your service. And today you're going to say, "God, I don't care how foolish it looks, I'm going to go." And in the midst of it, you'll start to see the changes. These 10 lepers took off. I wonder what their thoughts were. I'm going to sing again. I'm going to dance again. I'm going back to work. I'm moving back into my home. I can't wait for my family to see me. Amen? That's what I would have been thinking. Verse 15, and one of them. How many? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One of them, out of the 10, turned back. One out of the 10 had a comeback story. Let's see if I got it in there. I don't know. No, and fell down on his face and at his feet giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Most of the time, it's the people you don't think. It's not the religious. It's not the people that were raised in it. The people that you just automatically, they're smart enough, they're good enough, they're going to do it right. It's the person that should have never. Why in the world was he even there? Other than leprosy, he had nothing in common. Ain't that funny? The only thing we all have in common is our sin, really. And if we're saved, our forgiveness. Amen? But somewhere in the midst, he didn't know Jesus. He didn't have all the formal training. He didn't have a family that was in a historical place with God. And he was probably looked on as less than. But somewhere in the midst of his change, he looked down and he said, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go praise him. I'm going to praise him as loud as I prayed him. Oh, never mind. I thought that would go over good. You hear what I just said? Sometimes our prayer is louder than our praise. Sometimes even our prayer is louder and our praise never shows up. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Now, wait a minute. When he found you, when he walked by you, when he was coming by, you were like, oh, God, help me, forgive me, Lord. Save me, heal me, Lord. Meet that need, Jesus. But once it's met, benefits, right? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm back. He said, I want to go back and I want to make my praise as loud as my prayer. Some of you need to make your praise as loud as your prayer. You've been saved, but when's the last time you let somebody know about it? I'm not wearing you out. I'm not telling you. I don't care if you tell me. I don't care if you tell this church, but don't you think that you should live a life that's as loud as when you cried out? Because Jesus met you there. Shouldn't he hear from you after that? Some of y'all should be shouting the glory right now, because some of you were so far away that you didn't think God could touch you. You didn't think God could find you. But he did. And where are you now? Where are you now with your praise? Our prayers to save people should be the first. Oh, God, thank you that I could even come to the throne of glory. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for your mercy on my life where you met me. So many times, though, we're traveling, ain't we? We're still going on. We're going back to the temple. And Jesus answering and said, listen to this. I'm going to give you about 3 points right here, hopefully. We're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Not everybody come back. And not everybody was made whole. Listen, not everybody got the full healing. I believe he got a healing from his leprosy, but because he came back, he got a healing of his soul. Amen? Now some of y'all want God to touch in your life in certain areas. And you want to be whole, you want to be well, but you don't want to be whole. You want God to get you out of the circumstance. You want God to heal, but you don't want to be whole with God. And what it means to be whole with God is he makes your whole life different. He comes in and when you ask him, Lord, be the Savior of my life, he comes in and says, you know what? I'm going to save you, but I'm also going to make you better. Amen? Do y'all remember the story? The woman was a widow and she had 2 sons, in the house. She had the oil in the house. She just had the oil, the one pot of oil. And she went to the man of God and she said, if nothing doesn't happen, my husband, who was a prophet, died. And the debtors are going to come for my two sons and put them into slavery. He said, what do you have in the house? Amen. And the oil represents Jesus. And a lot of times we have Jesus in our lives, but He's just a small pot of oil that we don't consider. Amen. Until He's pointed out. He said, you go and get as many vessels as you can get. Amen. And you fill those vessels. And then sell, right? Then sell what you found, all right? So they started emptying the vessels. They closed the door and they started emptying the vessels, right? The first thing he said is, now you'll be able to pay the debtor, right? Your debt's been paid. Your sin debt's been paid. Amen? But then after you pay the debtor, there'll be enough to live on. Amen? See, Jesus pays my sin debt and I'm going to heaven. But when you really get Him, He's enough to live on. Amen? You can live on the rest of Him. Amen? He's good for this life too. Amen? Can I give y'all three good points? I want to give y'all three good points right here. I'm not a three-point preacher. I preach like 10 to get to these three. So I want you to get this. Why do we need a comeback? Why do we need to come back to Jesus? All right? And there's probably 100 points, but I'm going to give you three. The first one is Jesus wanted it. Amen? Jesus wants it. He didn't say it, but look what he said right here in verse 17. He says, Jesus answering said, where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Listen, I don't want to wear you out this morning on this, but I want to tell you this. Jesus wants your worship for what He's done in your life. He wants you to come back and say thank you. That's what Jesus looked and He said, well, I was expecting all 10. I was expecting everybody that's been saved to come back and say, Lord, thank you. So if you're wondering if God ever wanted you to come back and tell Him thank you, He did. He wanted you to come back in glory and just blow the top off of it and just say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was a stranger. I was someone who didn't belong. Oh, Lord, thank you for letting me get healed. Let me get saved. Lord, thank you. The second part, point number two, is because you didn't belong. And you better know it. If it weren't for the grace of God, it reminds me of that little boy that was lame sitting outside the gate. Right? Y'all remember in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 3, when John and Peter go up to the temple and there's a guy out there laid out there lame out in front of the gate. I always say they should have built a wall because he could see it. You know what he'd say out there? He goes, if I ever get in that church, I'm going to run and leap and praise God. I'm going to have a good time in there if I ever get in there. Amen? And Jesus passed by through John and Peter, said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Amen? And that old boy, he went in there praising, leaping, walking, running, praising God. So much that the people in the temple said, is that the guy? It looks like him. But he's awfully animated. And he ain't laying around anymore. Amen? Wouldn't it be cool? Now listen, I'm not telling you. I can't dictate how you worship God. And I wouldn't even want to. But wouldn't it be cool for somebody to say, was that old so-and-so that shouted? I didn't even know they had a shout. That's a pretty unique shout. Was that old so-and-so that was weeping before the Lord? Was that old so-and-so that was quiet? Did I say that? Did I say quiet? Because it'd be strange if sometimes the ones that were loud would be so quiet because they couldn't say nothing before God. Amen? You mean God got on him so much he couldn't even open his mouth? It's happened to me, but not very rarely. Amen? I love it when it does happen. Amen? And there'll be times with ones that you just can't help. I wish we'd get a good case of I can't help it's here. Amen? We ain't had them in a little while. We've had them. We've had an outbreak here before. I love when people say, I just can't help it. Right? I just can't help it. I got to say something. You know, I'm like, oh, good. Like, I'm glad you got it. I hope it's catching. Amen? That's the only thing you do want to catch during the handshaking period. Amen? During the fellowship time is a case that I can't help it. Amen? Go back and just say, thank you, Lord, for letting me in. I was a stranger. I had no other access to you except through Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I tell you the last one? It's so good. This is the last point. And this is the point I want you to have in your heart as you're going home today. The Samaritan was running just like the rest of them. He was going to the temple. He was going to the priest. And he was going to show himself where he can get the benefits of his life back. Amen? And you know what? I listed them earlier. Maybe he was running. He said, maybe I'll get my wife back. You know, when you get healed, when Jesus teaches you, or when God heals you and Jesus heals you of your sin sickness and your junk, you know, you get some things back. Maybe he's saying, maybe I'll get my relationships back. Maybe I'll get my kids back. I know everybody in this culture wouldn't like this, but maybe I'll get my job back. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with working, is there? Amen? Maybe I'll get my job back. Maybe I'll get my reputation back. Amen? I was wondering, maybe all the things, because they were getting well, and maybe I'll get back to serving the way I used to serve. One of them, the Samaritan, is looking at himself and he says, wait a minute. And he turns around and he goes back to God. And maybe he says to God, before I get a benefit, I would like to give you the glory. Before I get one benefit in my life, I wanted to give you the glory of giving me a life. See, because we love the benefits, but sometimes 9 other people fell in love with the benefits over the benefactor. Amen? The benefactor, the one who gave them. He said, I don't want to be restored. Hello? I don't want anything back until I go back and tell the one who made it possible, thank you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for passing by. God, get the glory out of my life. Whatever you want from me, you can have it. I don't want to go get approved until you understand I love you. You came here that day. And you made me whole in my body. I'm glorifying you for that. You know what he did? He said, you're whole. You're whole. Now you're ready to live and you're ready to die. Amen? You're ready to live and you're ready to die. See, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Amen? See, he got his body fixed first. I feel good. There's still something missing in here. When you get this fixed in here, then it doesn't matter what the outside has. We ultimately know the outside's going to give up. But that inside thing, that inside job that he does, that's permanent. Amen? As we all stand, as they come get a song of invitation, I want y'all to hear this too. It reminds me so much of the two thieves on the cross, right? When I said he was ready to live and ready to die. He looks over at him and says, remember me, Father, when you come into thy kingdom. When you come into your house, remember me. That thief on the cross was ready to die, but he is yet ready to live. Amen? Just like this man right here. Totally ready to die. And yet, totally ready to live. Where do you stand with God today? Are you saved? And you just hadn't glorified God in a while for what He's done in your life? Today would be a good day to have a comeback. This would be a good day to maybe be the one out of the nine on your pew row to step out and say, you know what? I'm going to go up there and thank God for the comeback story in my life. Some of y'all have been in some pretty bad places, some tough places and hard places. Maybe somebody in here is just, it's a miracle that you're even here this morning. You're going to step out and you're going to come up here and say, thank you. And maybe there is somebody in here. You don't have a comeback story. You need a come-to story. You need to come to Jesus' story. You need to come up here and say, Lord, I've never been made whole. Lord, make me whole. There's people coming and praying, so if you want to come pray, the altar's now open. Come on, do business with God.